Welcome, everybody, to Live with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Carolyn is amazing. She's a doctor, she's a naturopath, she's an herbalist, she's an acupuncturist. She's going to tell you exactly what she would do if she were in your shoes. I can't think of a person who has devoted more time to helping people's health than Dr. Carolyn Dean. She can make a huge difference as you listen to her words of wisdom. We know she's ahead of time because she is the doctor of the future. Welcome, Dr. Carolyn Dean.
Yay. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Ginny. Okay, we've got a busy show today. Didn't think I had anything to say, but then turns out I do. Actually, the first thing I want to talk about is just a couple of testimonials, short one, then a nice long one. Someone says, I've been taking Remag for a few years now to prevent leg cramps. It's working very well. I can't take the powdered magnesium as it gives me the runs. This does not. And that was the whole premise of making Remag, so that none of us, including me, didn't get the runs. The next testimonial, this, I guess this is from Amazon. It's so long. The title is, I cannot recommend this product highly enough. If you have AFib, you need it. Now, I don't know if the FDA has seen this, but I'm sure at some point they're going to get after Amazon for people being allowed to say good things about dietary supplements. So this person says, it all started for me January 2014. As I had been doing for years, I ran up the 50 steps to my house. I was 57 years old and pretty fit and healthy, but suddenly I realized something was wrong. I couldn't catch my breath and my heart was beating like crazy. I went inside and lay on my couch. Should I call 911? Every time I tried to get up from the couch, I started to black out. After about 45 minutes, my heartbeat converted back to normal and I felt fine but worried. This was my first experience with atrial fibrillation. Now, I want to say these words because, they describe perfectly what happens when a person's heart rhythm starts to go off kilter. And I don't know if it's, is it a he or a she? Let me go down here. No name. So I don't know if it's a he or a she. So then they continue after lots of, over the following months, I had further episodes and took several trips to the ER. The cardiologist put me on metoprolol. So that's a beta blocker to slow my heart down. And eventually, Xarelto? You think I'd be able to pronounce it. That's the blood thinner to help minimize the risk of stroke. The attacks continued to come more and more frequently. As the doctor said, they likely would, as often as every 2 weeks and lasting up to 4 hours. Getting out of bed during the night could trigger an attack or simply walking up a hill. It seemed that going from a resting heart rate to any kind of physical exertion could set it off. Even between episodes, I frequently had skipped heartbeats, which usually signaled an AFib episode was coming within a day or so. After lots of research, she capitalizes lots, online, I started taking iodine, Hawthorne, minerals like magnesium, amino acids, arginine, carnitine, lysine, proline, as they were all cited as promoting a normal heart rhythm. They may have helped, but the episodes continued. If 10 days went by without an AFib, I knew one was coming soon. when I came across REMAG magnesium, I was skeptical because I was already taking 200 milligrams of Doctor's Best chelated magnesium every day, and I couldn't tell if it was helping. Still, I ordered REMAG and began taking it daily. I noticed that my episodes became less frequent and of shorter duration. That alone was a huge relief. Since I began using REMAG 2 years ago, I have been averaging only one episode every 5 months, and it usually lasts less than 1 hour, sometimes just for a few minutes. Now, let me just say this. I'm just noticing. She said she had her first episode in 2014. What is it now? Almost 10 years later. And she's only been taking REMAG for 2 years. So she suffered for 8 years. I mean, how do we educate? How do we tell people about REMAG? What, you know, I was going to say, what are we doing wrong that we can't get this information out there? Well, you know, we're unable to get this information out there. We're unable to tell people that possibly your AFib can be related to magnesium deficiency. And why don't you try REMAG, which is the best absorbed, you know, stabilized ion of magnesium? 8 years she suffered, or 10 years. I'm not experiencing the, 8 years, shoot. Anyway, I'm not experiencing the skipped heartbeats anymore either. I owe Dr. Carolyn Dean a huge debt of gratitude for making REMAG available. It has greatly improved my quality of life, exclamation mark. If you are suffering from AFib, I cannot recommend REMAG highly enough. And also, drink plenty of water. Do not let yourself become dehydrated. And of course, sidebar, I make sure people are taking sea salted water, quarter teaspoon in every liter you drink. Many have complained that the taste is a showstopper. I don't care for the taste, but I'm not going to let that stop me from using a product that has nearly cured me of AFib. Now, the nearly cured is interesting. I think she says right after that. In fact, for the past year or so, I've taken a tablespoon of REMAG. Listen to this, under my tongue every evening, and waited a couple of minutes before swallowing, as I feel this helps me to optimize the absorption of the magnesium. I've gotten used to it and it doesn't bother me. I do experience diarrhea if I take too much. So a couple things there. I would be doing pico potassium as well. And of course, I'd be sipping it through the day, not taking it all at once, just to fine tune. And she or he continues and says, I now hike and bike and walk at least 12,000 steps a day without worrying about triggering an episode. If one comes, I lie down and wait it out, knowing it won't last long, and I'll be good for months afterward. Now, what some of our customers tell us is if they have an episode of something, they'll just take an extra half teaspoon. Finally, I want to take issue with the medical establishment and cardiologists in particular. They admit that they don't know what causes AFib, but they only treat the symptoms. Not one ER staffer or cardiologist I've spoken with has ever mentioned using magnesium to treat or prevent AFib. In my case, even though I was taking a magnesium supplement, my heart obviously needs a higher dose of the pure magnesium found in REMAG. Some suspicious types feel that pharmaceutical companies want to sell their expensive drugs, and something as simple as magnesium is not going to generate the income they want. I trust doctors. I just don't believe that they've been trained to encourage the use of nutrients to solve medical problems. As they say, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. I wish they taught prevention in medical school. Thank you again, Dr. Carolyn Dean. So isn't that a good lesson, a good reminder, Ginny? I thought that was such a perfect testimonial.
It is perfect, and it just goes to show you how timeless REMAG is, because we've been sharing testimonials like that for almost, well, this August is REMAG's 11th birthday, so 11 years. you know, of sharing this information, which we're so happy to do. And the hits just keep coming because people inevitably run into AFib when they've been chronically magnesium deficient, and notice her age was 57. So, you know, she starts with, and they say now that the deterioration, the demineralization of the body starts in the 40s. And so it starts to just not have the new, you know, the minerals that it needs. So 57 is a perfect age for AFib. And then how perfect it is that it doesn't take that long to get saturated. And you're absolutely right. She should have the potassium. And we'll have to see if we can track her down through Amazon and get her that information.
And here's how she says, I now hike and bike and walk. So she was a very active person before the AFib hit. So she was sweating out her magnesium and not replacing it.
Yep.
So it's great story.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay.
So here's our major topic. I might have started it off last week. Alzheimer's is type 3 diabetes. That's what they're saying now. The Alzheimer's Association says that one out of three elders would die of dementia. And elsewhere I read, your brain is the canary in the coal mine. It's the early warning system for health problems. Blue Cross Blue Shield reported March 2020 that between 2013, 2017, there was a 407% increase in the diagnosis of mild Alzheimer's in 30 to 44-year-olds. Ginny, it's terrible. That's incredible. These are young people, and they're developing signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's. So let's go over the various causes of Alzheimer's. This latest is that it relates to diabetes. So type 1 diabetes happens in young people when presumably the pancreas gives out after a viral infection and they're not making enough insulin. Type 2 diabetes is a consequence of a poor diet. You keep feeding yourself lots of sugars and refined carbohydrates, and the cells get insulin resistant. You keep pounding the cells with insulin to ask them to open up to accept the sugars, and they say, no, no bueno. they've got too much, and they get resistant to insulin. Now they're saying Alzheimer's is type 3 diabetes due to insulin resistance in the brain. Which means insulin is unable to open up neurons to receive glucose for the neurons to perform basic tasks, including memory and learning. And without glucose, they starve to death. Now, the brain uses more glucose than any other organ in the body. So the major cause of Alzheimer's was, before this diabetes theory, main cause was thought to be from apolipoprotein E, which causes a buildup of TAU, tau, and amyloid beta proteins that organize in neurofibrillary tangles. So it's like they cram up the brain and stop the transmission from neuron to neuron. Apolipoprotein is regulated by APO genes. So it's huge in the genetic world, trying to find your gene pattern to see if it indicates if you're susceptible to Alzheimer's. So in Alzheimer's, pathological tau protein is thought to spread along neuroanatomic connections, neuron to neuron, following a prion-like mechanism, which means it has an infectious quality. Note, all this means they don't really know what's going on. Genetic researchers have found that a variant of the Alzheimer's APOE gene seems to interfere with the brain cell's ability to use insulin. Although not yet universally accepted as a separate type of diabetes, the concept of Alzheimer's disease as a disorder of insulin has received a significant amount of attention over the past two decades, translate research money. Insulin is also involved in the phosphorylation of tau protein, which leads to neurofibrillary tangles. There's also the theory that it's due to mercury poisoning or aluminum poisoning. Both of those toxic minerals, metals are in flu shots. Mercury is in dental fillings. Aluminum is in cookware. The search for Alzheimer's drugs has so far failed. 99.6% failure rate from 2000 to 2012 in trying to get an Alzheimer drug to work. So that just makes me think that's a toxicity problem, because you can't treat a toxicity problem with a drug because you just create more toxicity. And there's also the calcium hypothesis of brain aging and Alzheimer's, which was first proposed in 1983. And there have been many studies, but there's no drug to stop calcium. But magnesium, not mentioned in the hypothesis, yet it blocks the influx of calcium into neurons. And magnesium also protects against the consequences of glutamate receptor stimulation. I picked up that somewhere. Okay, so they're talking about calcification of the brain, but there's no drugs for it. I doubt if many people have heard about that hypothesis, because they won't look at magnesium as a solution. And they don't look at the role of magnesium deficiency in diabetes. One of the signs of diabetes is low magnesium. That's never considered. And magnesium is a detoxifier, and it's necessary for proper neuron function. Allopathic medicine is not paying attention to magnesium. They just keep trying to find an Alzheimer's drug that can make Big Pharma lots of money. I sound like our Amazon testimonier. So what are they studying in allopathic medicine? Weight loss drugs like injectable Ozempic, which is all the rage in Hollywood. That's the whatever $2,000 an injection weight loss drug. They're saying, oh my gosh, you know, the brain clears up or whatever. They're trying to pretend that it does. They say it may address several different aspects of the metabolic system implicated in Alzheimer's, including amyloid protein and inflammation. And the first FDA-approved antipsychotic drug for agitation in Alzheimer's is on the market. It's called, I'll never be able to pronounce this, but brexpiprazone. Yeah, brexpiprazole. The generic name. It already has three different companies making this drug under different brand names. And the first thing I look at is the side effects when I find out about any of these drugs. At drugs.com, I counted 70 side effects for brexpiprazone: anxiety, dizziness, drowsiness, dyspepsia, fatigue, nasopharyngitis, tremor, weight gain, hypersomnia, and a sedated state. I mean, they all sound like Alzheimer's symptoms and magnesium deficiency symptoms. And then I found this article about Alzheimer's and genetic testing. And apparently there are pitfalls to Alzheimer's genetic testing. Millions of Americans are expected to get genetic testing for Alzheimer's in the coming years as new drugs, remember I said earlier, 99.6% of the drugs they've been testing never panned out. Well, new drugs for people with early Alzheimer's usher in sweeping change in approaches to treatment of the disease. What's my treatment? REMAG, REMITE, REALIGN to start. Testing for the APOE gene variant among Americans being treated for Alzheimer's has more than doubled from a year ago. The increase was driven by the new treatments that promise to slow the progression of the disease. But when you find out you are carrying two copies of APOE4, the news can be depressing. So this is an actual article. They're saying those words. Few support services are available to help people deal with the implications of this testing. You take someone in their 40s, you don't develop a true Alzheimer's until your 60s and 70s. So they'll do testing in their 30s and 40s and spend the next 30 or 40 years just being freaked out that they're going to get Alzheimer's because there's no early treatment for Alzheimer's, even though they're pretending that the drugs are coming. They're always saying the drugs are coming. Also, there's a shortage of genetic counselors to explain the tests and help them navigate the psychological, medical, financial, and legal consequences. Note that the article doesn't even suggest there's any prevention or treatment for Alzheimer's outside these new drugs. And I tracked down one of the new drugs, Leqembi, Leqembi. How do you pronounce that, Bob? Leqembi?
Leqembi.
Leqembi. There's Bob, my linguist. One of them, Leqembi, which arrived on the market in January 2023, costs $26,500 a year and is not covered by Medicare. Leqembi is also a biologic drug called a monoclonal antibody. And I've talked many times about biologic drugs. They're complex molecules that are changing all the time and the body doesn't know what to do with them. And some researcher was quoted as saying, when you learn information about having the APOE4 gene, you're potentially learning about your siblings and your children. People describe feeling existential dread when they get their tests. And I'm saying genetic testing has likely increased the incidence of assisted suicide when these people finally get diagnosed with Alzheimer's and know, you know, that it's not going to be fun. I'll keep going. I know what Ginny's going to say. She's just going to be so fed up with this whole scenario of wanting to do early testing. Genetic testing is early testing for disease in a culture that does not know how to prevent disease or treat disease with natural means. That's what's happening here. And nobody's looking at the total biology causes of Alzheimer's, which is someone just quietly checking out of life. Alzheimer's, according to total biology, is having had many hurtful conflicts of separation in life. They take care of their children for years, then the children go away, and their children have grandchildren who don't interact with their grandparents. Every conflict of separation produces a scar on the brain. Divorce is a conflict. The scarring on the brain, with actual scarring in total biology, they do CAT scans and see the scars on the brain that occur from conflict. So the scarring on the brain makes the tissue inflexible, and then every new conflict that comes, the brain downloads that into the center of the forgetfulness. And It's like people are saying, if I experience something today, my memory center is loaded and it goes into the forgetfulness area. Dr. Gilbert Renault, my teacher in total biology, consulted with a man who had Alzheimer's. He had many lovers, and that means many separations. And by Dr. Renault asking him to talk about the women in his life and talk about the conflict of separation, he was able to begin resolving these conflicts so they didn't sit in his brain. So it's you're trying to check out. It's like you've got too many conflicts. It's quite a fascinating take on Alzheimer's in the brain. But then, besides the REMAG, Ginny, I came upon fasting, a game changer for spike protein injuries and potentially combats Alzheimer's and cancer. This was in the Epoch Times. And they quoted our friend, Dr. Jason Fung. So we'll tie our COVID and our Alzheimer's all together. Numerous doctors treating long COVID and COVID vaccine injuries now suggest fasting as a potential therapy for overall symptom improvement. Let's see, recent studies revealed that fasting offers a multitude of advantages beyond weight loss, including reducing inflammation and boosting immunity, enhancing cognitive function, and potentially lowering the risk of cancer. Dr. Fung, he wrote a book on fasting. That's why they interviewed him, I'm sure. And he's got a big online presence. Dr. Fung suggests that fasting may tap into the body's innate wisdom, depriving viruses and bacteria of nutrients to aid in the fighting of colds and flus, etc. This is interesting. Now, consuming food generally triggers inflammation, while fasting promotes an anti-inflammatory response. Eating introduces both nutrients and pathogens into the body, triggering the immune system. Studies show that after each meal, there's a temporary period of inflammation as the immune system eliminates pathogens. This inflammation is beneficial as it helps prevent infection and supports the body's defense mechanisms. However, frequent snacking and constantly being fed, being in a fed state, can lead to chronic inflammation and negative health effects, elevated blood pressure, reduced insulin sensitivity, cell and tissue damage, and impaired healing, type 2 diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, cancer, and more. In contrast, both intermittent and prolonged fasting can activate genes that suppress inflammation, reduce inflammatory immune cells, and shows signs of mitigating autoimmunity. Notably, a study published in the journal Stem Cell found that a 3-day fasting period can reset the immune system by degrading old immune cells and regenerating new ones. So, I mean, that's all awesome. It really is helpful. And I talk a lot about intermittent fasting, of course, but also there's the 3-day fast. And you can take all your minerals and your capsules, just not your restructure. When you're fasting, you get your nutrients, but you're not introducing, you know, food chemicals or pathogens or whatever that create the inflammation. And you really assist your body resetting its immunity. And I think, I mean, there are words here about fasting increasing the brain-derived neurotrophic factor. This is a protein that supports the survival of old neurons and encourages the formation of new neurons and connections. And autophagy, which occurs supposedly at the 72-hour mark, autophagy may regenerate neurons and clear protein debris from the brain. While there's limited human evidence, several studies have suggested ketogenic diets, which is similar to fasting, force the body to use fat and ketones as a primary source rather than glucose, and that improves cognition. So on and on, more words. And the things to consider before fasting, they say, it can have certain side effects, including mood swings, notably hunger. In today's culture, where snacking and constant indulgence in food is common. Sorry, I'm just trying to kill a mosquito there. Today's culture, snacking and constant indulgence in food are common. Fasting can be seen as an equivalent to starvation. So that's where you want your total body reset nutrients. So Ginny, what did you think of that mouthful of information?
Well, it was a mouthful and a brain full. And fortunately, because I take Remag, I think I will actually be able to remember everything that my Alzheimer's hasn't kicked in. And I'm just saying that teasingly. But I mean, it's just, there are so many stressors and toxic impingements and everything that's happening to these young people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, back to our conversation that we said, you know, we always bring it up is what can we really do for our young people today? And again, the idea about getting them REMAG and getting them aware about nutrients and protecting something as precious as their brain is really important. So I'm glad you're sharing these topics because people have got to know. I mean, this is a real cause for concern.
Mm-hmm. And the checking out, the total biology checking out when you said, yeah, the young people and their brain stressors, it's like, how many layers of stress can you take before you just want to, you know, stop it, stop the craziness. And that is probably dementia as well. And how many customers have we had who've told us directly or told us about their relatives who've taken our formulas and gotten out of the bed and, you know, gotten out into the yard and start doing yard work, whereas they were bedridden with their, you know, apathy and just they checking out of life. It is amazing.
Yeah.
So the next, do you want me to stop?
Yeah. I just want to ask a question. Yeah, because Alexandra on the chat line is definitely saying, there are some contradictions to supplementing with magnesium, including kidney failure, that if you have kidney failure, that you can't use it because the kidneys can't take up the magnesium. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. I wrote a whole chapter about that in my book, Magnesium Miracle. And Dr. Fung, I mean, he's a nephrologist. And when I visited him in Toronto, he was talking about how he got involved with the fasting and everything. And of course, we got around to magnesium. And I said, well, don't you find that your dialysis patients, you know, your kidney dialysis patients, that they're experiencing magnesium deficiency, they're twitching and they have fibrillation and all the rest of it because dialysis takes out their magnesium. And he says, yeah, I have to give them magnesium. I have to put it in their IV. And I said, oh, when are you going to write a paper on that? He says, I can't write a paper on that. We're too entrenched in thinking magnesium is contraindicated in kidney disease. So that's your update on magnesium and kidneys, Alexander. And if you want to get more information on that, I don't know if we're doing excerpts anymore, but it's in the Magnesium Miracle book. What we did is had a customer who was on dialysis, and she was a healthcare worker. And what she did was with her observation of her twitching and everybody around her getting high blood pressure and everything in the dialysis unit, she forced the doctors to do befores and afters of magnesium. And she showed them point blank that her magnesium levels dropped when she got dialysis. And then what we say about REMAG is because it's so well absorbed, you know, at the cellular level, it doesn't hang around in the blood, it's not a compound, that it just goes to the cells and does what it needs to do to take care of the cells and the kidneys. So I don't know if that, I mean, I know I'm coming off as a bit sharp here, but it just is so incredible that someone will have a little bit of a abnormal kidney test. And if the doctor finds out that the patient or our customer's on magnesium, they'll say, oh, well, you can't take that. And they have no reason to do that. Probably what happens, it happens with magnesium, IV magnesium, when it's given and you push it, you give a huge bolus of it. It can trip the heart a bit, and it could cause kidney problems. But it's that IV, you know, malpractice gets translated into, oh, well, you can never swallow a magnesium pill again in your life. So what do I say in the book? I found that kidney patients, even those on dialysis, can safely take a picometer stabilized ionic form of magnesium for their debilitating leg cramps and heart palpitations. And I say one woman reports that her magnesium levels drop after every dialysis treatment because there's so little magnesium in the IVs they use during the procedure. This means that with every treatment, she comes closer to a life-threatening magnesium deficiency heart attack. And in chapter 11, I have her story in the section called Kidneys Need Magnesium. So did I say enough words there, Ginny?
I think that's very good. And it is always a point of contention because, you know, the super silly people on Healthline and whatever, they just cannot wait to dog out supplements. I mean, they just can't wait. Mm-hmm. So it's important to have Carolyn's context. She is the world's leading expert on magnesium and mineral supplementation. She's talked and trained so many doctors, clinicians, health practitioners, and consumers to think about magnesium the proper way. So you've got it here from Dr. Dean, and mm-hmm. now you can know that you can proceed with confidence, really, honestly. I mean, REMAG is just so important.
Yeah, and low doses, because in the book, of course, I have the contraindication page, and I write down number one, kidney failure. With kidney failure, there's an inability to clear magnesium from the kidneys. So I have to say that, but then in chapter 11, I give the whole story. Number two, myasthenia gravis. Intravenous administration of magnesium could accentuate muscle relaxation and collapse the respiratory muscles. So people with myasthenia gravis are told, oh, don't take any magnesium. But a lot of myasthenia gravis is from toxicity, heavy metal toxicity, and you need magnesium to help detoxify. An excessively slow heart rate is a contraindication. Slow heart rates can be made even slower as magnesium relaxes the heart. Slow heart rates often require an artificial pacemaker. So when we have someone with slow heart rate, which is called bradycardia, we tell them, well, you know, get yourself tested, see if you need an artificial pacemaker. And when you get that put in, you can take your magnesium to help heal your magnesium deficiency symptoms. And bowel obstruction, the main route of elimination of oral magnesium is through the bowel. However, that doesn't even compute with REMAG because you're absorbing this picometer size ion of magnesium high up in the mouth, the throat, and the stomach, the upper and small intestines. It doesn't even get to the bowel. So, but I mean, heaven forbid we don't have customers who phone us up with bowel obstruction. So then I say what I just told you about read chapter 11 and detoxing heavy metals. And I've had cases of people with myasthenia gravis needing to take their magnesium. So yeah, it's quite fascinating. You know, it's like allopathic medicine. Allopathic medicine only knows enough kind of to be dangerous to people because they're constantly, they know so little, they're constantly just telling them, oh, it's dangerous, you know, don't take it. And then that leads people away from taking something that could be really necessary, life-saving. I mean, how many people have told us that? I mean, I don't take it to heart. I don't take it personally that I'm saving lives. I just made a magnesium product because I was getting the laxative effect. And that's that. I mean, that's the end of it for me. Anything else is a, you know, is a bonus and I'm happy for it, but I don't take it personally.
Well, I take it very personally when people say, Dr. Dean saved my life, because I know it's true. So I feel like it is important, you know, the heart and the brain and then the gut, you know, and the skin. I mean, when you think about it, there's not a part of the body that isn't affected by Remag and Remite, our other mineral products. So very important. So we are doing great work, and I'm glad that you were selfish and you made it for yourself, but the impact that you've had on others is really important, and we don't want to let that go unaddressed. Okay, now listen, but here's somebody else that we can help. Dip Bar on the chat is saying, hello, I've been chronically tired for a decade now. I'm not overweight. I train actively as well, and I'm very picky with my food. I don't drink alcohol. I don't eat junk, but still tired all the time. Could you please recommend a solution?
Remag. Yeah, you're in the right place. The worst is over. Magnesium, when it's properly absorbed and is able to get in your cells, is responsible for 80% of known metabolic functions. So, you know, chronically tired, that's one of the symptoms. I mean, there's probably also some insomnia and maybe some tight muscles and some irritability and some worry and stress and maybe a headache or two. That it all, you know, kind of adds up, and like Ginny said, and then when you're 57, you're running up the stairs and you get hit with a heart arrhythmia. So yeah. It's slowly, you know, it's like the frogs boiling in a pan of water. They don't know they're being boiled to death because the heat is turned up so gradually. So we're in that type of boiling water with all the ways we can be losing magnesium. If you're training a lot, you're sweating a lot, and if you're not taking a good magnesium, you're losing magnesium and potassium and sodium. So you get your water going, take your body weight, divide that in half, drink that many ounces of water a day. In each liter of water, put a quarter teaspoon of a good sea salt that has some color to it. The white sea salts are processed, so they're probably empty of the 72 minerals that sea salt has. And then you add your Remag, start with, you know, quarter, half a teaspoon in one of the liters and sip that throughout the day while drinking your other water. And then look at our site and look into Remite, which has 12 minerals, and Realign for detoxifying the body. And picopotassium as well. So, but Remag, I mean, for healthy people, our customers tell us that they seem to just need Remag. We want them to take other things to prevent getting ill or getting run down, but start with Remag.
Okay, very good. That's fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, let's see what other questions we have. Yes. She does also have a skipping heart sometimes. So there you go. That little skipping heart is always the tell. And worry and headaches and stress. And yes, of course, headaches. Magnesium deficiency always. So
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. You'll do very, very well with that protocol. And if you need any support, just check with customer service. Now, I have a little thing I want to say, Carolyn. Is it okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Last week, we were going to let everybody know this great and wonderful thing. But then what happened, which was so hilarious, was our website crashed. I was like, oh my God. But this is what we want to tell you, or I wanted to tell you last week. So if you go to drcarolyndean.com, drcarolyndean.com, the first thing you're going to see, if you haven't been on there lately, is we have a brand new, beautiful homepage about Dr. Dean and about her life with lifestyle, structure and function, and being part of our vibrant community. And we also, you know, feature the books and things like that. And then on top of that, we have the blogs and things of that nature that people can access. Now, if you click on the About Dr. Dean page, I just want to tell everybody this if you're not there. You got to click on that page and scroll all the way down to the picture of Carolyn in 1986 because she's just so stinking cute. God, I just love that picture. She's just so full of hope and optimism in her eyes. She's just got this great energy. Like she just is just confident that everybody in the world is going to be healthy forever and ever. And it's just a beautiful energy. So be sure to look at that. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Every week, Melody Rose always says, bring a friend, bring a friend, bring a friend. And what we noticed is that because of the way we had to protect the website with the compliance and everything with the FDA is we made it a membership website and everybody has to sign a release from us, releasing us from being your doctor and giving you medical advice and all the things that the FDA doesn't like or require. And then you were going to be paying a community monthly membership of $4.95. That gives you access to all the podcasts, the books, the webinars, and any new things coming up like Dr. Dean's brand new book, which our members will get at no charge, even though everybody else is going to have to pay $9.99 for it. So what we realized is we want to make the podcast part of the basic membership, not the $4.95 membership. If you're a member already, which most everybody on this call is, you're still going to keep your chronometer and you're still going to have your webinars and things of that nature, and you're going to get the book free. But if you want somebody to join the call with you or tell somebody about this fantastic resource, they can become a basic member, get on the list for the podcast, and be part of what we're doing. Also, Melody Rose has decided that she's giving away free Remag or Remag lotion, your choice, to everyone this summer who brings a friend and lets us know. So if you bring a friend to the show and you can show Melody Rose, I brought a friend here with me, Melody Rose, then she's going to send you either a complimentary 8-ounce bottle of Remag or she's going to send you a bottle of Remag lotion. You can take your pick. So that's what we're doing for our radio show members. So it's really exciting. Check out the website. Share it with your friends, please. So many people need to have this information now more than ever. As we know, it's always been important, but these facts are being obscured by big pharma and centralized medicine, and we really want to make it available to so many people. The other thing I want to ask you finally, Carolyn, just coming back around. So again, if you have any questions, hit Melody Rose up on the chat line or send her email at questions@drcarolyndean.com and she'll take care of it. What do you take when you are dealing with kidney failure? Like kidney failure, does that literally mean like you're on dialysis, Carolyn?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So at that point, what we always say is if a person's in that kind of a chronic situation where they're being treated medically and that kind of a situation, we do not really interfere with that. Is that right, Carolyn?
It's true, but we've had a number of people. I remember when I was still doing telephone consulting and had access to the formulas. I wouldn't charge for the consults, but we had some kidney failure people or people with stage 3 and stage 4, and they just took the formulas. They took what medications they were supposed to, but they also took the formulas. You know, you can take our formulas with any drug or any disease because they're like food. They're low potency nutrients. So there's no contraindication to taking them. And, you know, with we talked about the kidney contraindication, but if you have any condition, you're just going to do things slowly and see how your body reacts to them.
Okay, very good. Excellent. Okay, some more questions. Do we need to email Dr. Dean to get the foot-free book? Nope. Melody Rose is also in charge of the book going on the website, but it's not quite ready yet, but you'll know because you'll get an announcement and it'll be there for you to download if you're a member. So you don't need to do anything. Kidney failure, earliest sign, stage 1. That's what this gentleman's concerned about.
Yeah, stage 1. I mean, I know I talked with someone once about stage 1 that they were so close to normal all of a sudden a few points in and they were told they had the beginnings of kidney failure. And it's shock. It's an emotional, psychological shock to the brain. It starts a conflict that gets a person stressed out and can cause, you know, physical symptoms itself by being shocked that you're being told that your kidneys are failing. So, I mean, that's the perfect time, you know, as stage 1 to start taking nutrients and start being healthy. I mean, the thing with kidney failure, I mean, what's going on? Is it atherosclerosis in the blood vessels of the kidneys that's slowing things down? Is it, you know, too much salt or lack of proper sea salt? Is it, you know, dehydration can cause kidney failure. They'll say about kidney disease, well, we don't know what causes it. Could there have been an infection? You know, could a person still have a lingering subclinical infection and need picosilver? You know, these things, you know, the customer service can help sort out, not in a medical way, but just, you know, kind of in a conversational way to try to guide a person. But, you know, when you get here, it's, yes, the worst is over because you haven't been getting the right information.
The right information and the right nutrition. And also, I think, Carolyn, Dr. Fong, you know, who treats kidney failure, mm-hmm. wanted people to do intermittent fasting because one of the biggest things that puts pressure on the kidneys is insulin. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Good point. Bringing that around. Absolutely. Look up Dr. Jason Fung and get his books and look at what he says about intermittent fasting and fasting to treat these diseases. He just got totally fed up. With him, it's the nephrologist, the kidney doctor ends up seeing people who've had diabetes and who've killed their kidneys with high sugar. And then they need to have a kidney replacement or be on dialysis. So that's how he got into the dialysis business and knew he knows his patients need magnesium. But you see, even, you know, a wonderful doctor like himself, he's not willing to go public and say, well, you know, we should be giving our dialysis patients magnesium. So all the doctors are failing us in allopathic medicine because they don't feel free to tell the truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because then if you're empowered to follow, you know, what did Jesus say? Physician, heal thyself. Mm-hmm. I mean, every single person is their own healer. If you're empowered to follow your own healing impulse and to do your research and things like that, where does that leave centralized medicine? They don't have any control. And there goes their revenue. I mean, it's really sad that that's what it's been, that's what it's become about. But fortunately, Carolyn got into the medical field before all this ridiculous behavior started happening. So, and she's kept her heart pure. You go look at that picture of her little pure heart. It's on there. Okay. Now, proper nutrition could mean taking Remag, Todd, but it could also mean eliminating sugar. It could be intermittent fasting. It could be all kinds of things. Magnesium is part of the food source, but proper nutrition can mean a lot of things. But I'm sure if somebody's clinically diagnosed you as stage one kidney failure, they're already working with you to try to get you into some kind of behavior modification. And usually that involves nutrition and exercise and things of that nature. Right, Carolyn?
Right. I mean, what do they, I don't know if they tell you to stop taking salt. They do all kinds of strange things. They will tell you to stop taking magnesium, which is such a shame. But there's, I don't know, there's not much that they talk about with kidney disease. They really do kind of wait for it to get worse so they can give you drugs. But there aren't that many kidney drugs. So it's a matter of lifestyle and attitude.
Yeah, a lot of it's lifestyle and expecting your body to repair itself. Okay, now I want to ask this question because it's funny. This came up today. Carolyn and I were talking about it. Electrosensitivity and chemical sensitivity could be from a lot of different things. What do you recommend for multiple chemical sensitivities and electrosensitivity, Carolyn?
Magnesium. Magnesium, Remag, Realign, you know, our whole protocol is built for multiple chemical sensitivity. I have a whole file here to share probably next week on EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, and how magnesium protects you against that. My practice in Toronto, half of it was people who wanted to stay healthy, preventive medicine. And the other half were really sick people who'd been to every other doctor, and I was their last resort. I was a resort doctor, big joke. And they had the multiple chemical sensitivities. We didn't know much about EMFs back then. I started learning about it back then, though. And I mean, we have Jackie, who's works with our professional side, and she was living in a cabin or a tent out by a river trying to detoxify from the electromagnetic environment and her chemical sensitivities. And then she discovered minerals, discovered Remag, and brought herself up back to be a, you know, perfectly healthy person. So your body is able to deal with any sort of allergy or sensitivity, including electromagnetic, if you give it the right building blocks. I know that sounds a little bit, you know, sounds too simplistic, but that's what it takes. The basic building blocks have to be given and absorbed. And the problem is we can say, oh, yes, this or that nutrient will help, but is it being absorbed? And that's what we've done with these formulas, is make sure they're fully absorbed at the cellular level. The B vitamins in the Realign are food-based and methylated. And there are a couple of amino acids that support glutathione production. So my 50 years in studying this, I put it together that this is what we need to do. We don't need 100 different, you know, esoteric formulas and herbs and amino acids. We basically need under a dozen things that will provide us with the basic building blocks. Right,
okay,
Jenny?
We only have 1 minute left, but I know in the past I've also heard you say chemical sensitivities can be related to yeast overgrowth. So wrap it up with that.
Yes, yeast is my two theories are of chronic disease are yeast overgrowth and mineral deficiencies, especially magnesium. Yeast we've gotten involved with all the sugar and antibiotics and stress and cortisol and cortisones, allowing the yeast to grow up into the small intestine and antibiotics killing off the good bacteria. So we deal with yeast overgrowth as well by working with Pico Silver and our Flora Revive, which is a natural antifungal and a probiotic, so that you can still kind of live your life, not be a hermit away from sugar, wheat, and dairy, but you can be sensible and overcome your yeast overgrowth, because we do need yeast. It's not like we have to kill it all off.
So very good. Very good. All right. That's a wrap on an hour.
That's a wrap.
An extra minute to go. My gosh.
Oh, okay. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate you being here and asking questions. That's how we keep learning.
That's right. And laughing and
you
learning.
You have been listening to Dr. Carolyn Dean, the doctor of the future. Become a member of drcarolyndean.com and get access to all her leading edge of creation information, as well as archives, webinars, and other valuable media resources. Join Dr. Dean and Ginny Almighty same time again next week.